Last Word on Today FM.
So it's time for our weekly visit to the news in America, and we're joined by Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown. And Marion, Donald Trump denied that he had ever drawn a birthday card for Jeffrey Epstein, said it didn't exist, started a legal action against the Wall Street Journal for defamation, and lo and behold, yesterday we see the publication of that very birthday message from for Epstein's 50th birthday, and now the defence is that it's a forged signature. What are we to make of all of this?
Yeah, you know, I remember when we spoke about this weeks and weeks ago, Matt, and I think we both agreed that there's no way the Wall Street Journal would have run that unless it was absolutely nailed down. As far as I know, this birthday book, which was sent to the Congressional Oversight Committee, requested, I believe, by the Democrats, was in the possession of Jeffrey Epstein's estate. It was this famous birthday book that about 200 people wrote messages that, from what we've seen so far, just go from skin crawling to downright revolting and juvenile, all from men, and they all have these really prurient sexual references. And Donald Trump's is, again, has that real ick factor. We spoke about it. It's like a really bad, and then, you know, it's supposed to be modeled like a screenplay, I think, you know, voiceover, and then this weird conversation about them enigmas, and may every day be another wonderful secret, you know, from Donald Trump. Trump's still denying it. Now, he denied it with the Journal. He said he was suing them for $1 billion. Nothing, as far as we know, has happened so far. I would imagine that when it got to discovery and sworn depositions, that might have got uncomfortable for Donald Trump. I suspect, as we said all along, that this case will just be quietly dropped. Trump will keep denying this. He'll keep doing ridiculous things like his Tripocalypse Now thing about going to war with Chicago to try and distract us. But this Epstein thing, it's just not going away. There were other really horrible messages as well, including, again, that seemed to, I'm not saying implicate Trump, but certainly referenced him, a fake check from Donald Trump that implied he had bought a woman from Epstein for $22,500, and a joke from some creep called Joel Pashkow, an estate agent from New York, who said that, you know, he shows his talents with money, and even though I handled the deal, I didn't get any of the money from the girl, or any of the whatever, any of the money on the girl, I beg your pardon. I mean, the way these men speak about women is just revolting. Trump is, this isn't going away. The Democrats in Capitol Hill are probably going to make sure it doesn't go away. And Bill Clinton had a message in it too. It wasn't as creepy as the other ones, but it was still a message from Bill Clinton to somebody who everybody who I've spoken to in New York said he was a known sex offender from the early 90s. Everybody who associated with him knew he was a creep. That would include Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, Donald Trump, and everybody else as well.
I wonder, Cal Thomas, what wonderful secret did Epstein and Trump share?
Well, first, Matt, I want to welcome you back. It's not the same without you. The subjects you picked that really matter, your probing questions. It's just great to have you back. Second, a shout out to a taxi driver named Peter who helped us with our bags at Conley Station last week and who recognized my voice and wanted a picture taken with me. So now I have evidence that I have one fan in Dublin.
You have many fans, Cal. You have many fans.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, look,
and Wexford.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was great to be with you at the Kennedy School in New Ross, Marion. Let's take a look at the politics of this. Now, Democrats are claiming that Trump is using the National Guard in Washington and threatening to send them to other cities with high crime run by Democrats to distract from Epstein. Now, Republicans are saying that Democrats are using the Epstein birthday book to distract from crime in these cities. Look, in the great words of James Carville, who said about Bill Clinton, it's only about sex, nobody cares. The difference, of course, is we've got underage girls involved. Look, I don't think anybody that I know is arguing in favor of Trump's moral character. Bad company corrupts good morals, says a word from that Bible in hotel rooms that nobody reads, apparently. And so I think you look at the associations he has, you look at his language, you look at the way he speaks and has treated women, including his former wives, and this should be of no surprise to anybody. I think, though, that most Americans are not going to care about it unless there is proof that Trump, in fact, had a sexual relationship with any of these young girls. And if that is ever proved, then all bets are off.
Oh, so you think they don't care? I mean, do you think, because the MAGA movement made an awful lot, Cal, about a cover-up for Epstein, claiming it was to cover up to benefit the Clintons and various other Democrats. And now that they see Trump, and they have had the evidence clearly for quite a while of all the videos together, but now when they see Trump apparently covering up himself what had happened, is that not going to let some of them decide that they have been brainwashed by the cult and they need to move away from it?
Well, I think there's a lot of merit in what you say, Matt. I think the fact that Republicans have been leading on this, even before the Democrats chimed in, wanting the release of all the documents. You remember the Attorney General Pam Bondi said they've got everything. And then when it was shown that they didn't have everything, Congress, that is, and the Oversight Committee, she released, I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of pages of documents. So they did have everything. And the people on the far right in the Republican Party believe there is a cover-up and that there is more to see. We'll see. It wouldn't be the first time in Washington that people covered up things that made their party or their president look bad.
And then, Marion, what about the mass distraction that's involved? Just tell us a little bit more about this proposed immigration crackdown on Chicago, which is consistently portrayed by Trump as a lawless city, but actually has a lower murder rate than many of the capital cities of Republican-controlled states.
Absolutely, including, where Mike Johnson is from. I mean, Shreveport, Louisiana, apparently has a higher per capita murder rate than Chicago. But Chicago has a serious crime problem. You know, it's not to downplay that. There are massive shootings. There are really dangerous areas in Chicago. And I love it as a city. It is a terrific city. But this is Trump going after Democratic cities. And I think it's just really reinforcing. Yes, it's a distraction. I think that ridiculous post of him, you know, in the role of the Apocalypse Now general, whose name now escapes me, you know, I love the smell of deportations in the morning. That's just cruel and crass and revolting. And a picture of Chicago, the skyline in flames and helicopters going in. You know, the renaming of the Department of Defense, it's the Department of War. This is all Trump trying to beef himself up and make himself look a bit macho. But I think it is distractions. I think he's also trying to distract from what's going on overseas, that huge humiliation for him that took place in China last weekend when you had all of the, you know, the strongman sleepover, as it's been referred to, where you had all the strongman leaders of the world gather and Trump wasn't invited to join his buddies and he was sending these petulant little texts. But the problem with that is not Trump's petty texts, it's that India, he has effectively pushed India into China's arms, and that is a huge undoing of three decades of foreign policy. So I think he's trying to distract not just from Epstein, but from everything else. And the way he can do it is to look like the strong man at home and to kick around Democratic cities. And I think that's precisely why he's doing it. It's, you know, yes, he wants to distract from Epstein, but other things as well are not going well for Trump, including the economy.
Well, we get to the economy in a second, but Cal Thomas, as a veteran commentator on these issues, what did you make of what happened in Beijing last week, of all of these dictator buddies hanging out together, coming together, and then getting the likes of the Indians involved as well, and creating a new axis in opposition to the Western world?
Yeah, new access of evil. Absolutely, Matt. Big surprise for me was Kim Jong-un wearing a suit and a tie. When was the last time you saw that? But yes, I think Trump made a huge mistake having lunch with the head of the Pakistan Army at the White House. That offended Modi tremendously. Look, there have been decades of work with Democrat and Republican presidents shoring up America's relationship with India, the world's largest democracy. They're a nuclear power, trying to keep the lid on with the antagonisms between Pakistan and India. And now in just a few weeks, Trump has blown it up. I think it's very, very dangerous. And to see these thugs, these dictators associating with Modi, and him basically kissing up to them, is a very, very dangerous foreign policy issue.
And did you get any sense of serious people in the United States, particularly those on the conservative or Republican side, being worried by this? Are they all just so enthralled to Trump that they just refuse to call it out?
Well, there have been some editorials in the Washington Times and the Wall Street Journal and certain columnists in those publications who are very much worried about this. But, you know, we are basically, we being Americans, have traditionally been an isolationist country, and we still have that streak. But we can't live like that in a nuclear war, and we better wake up that, you know, just because you think that the Cold War is over and that and the Soviet Union fell, that we're going to have a generation of peace. It doesn't work that way. Evil manages to wind its way into other people when the former dictators are gone. And so we have to be on constant guard about it, and we need to be supporting our allies and opposing our enemies. That's the way you advance freedom.
Yeah, but what you've been doing, Caller, sorry, not with you personally, but what Trump has been doing, has been waging economic war against his allies in Europe and Canada and elsewhere, and undermining them. At the same, well, he doesn't put the same type of tariffs on Russia as he does on us in Europe.
Yeah. Well, now he says that he is going to step up the sanctions on Russia. He should have done it before last week on the show when you were there. We were talking about this, and I'm very much in favor of not only primary sanctions on Russia, but secondary sanctions and selling arms to NATO that they can give to Ukraine to fight back. All of these things have been far too delayed, too much delayed. And he says he's going to do it now. We'll see if he does. You never know from day to day what Trump is going to do.
Okay. Now, Marion, you mentioned economics. And earlier this week, we had news that the U.S. economy added just 22,000 jobs in August and unemployment up to 4.3%. And now there's figures coming out from the Bureau of Labor Statistics saying that the U.S. economy created 911,000 fewer jobs in 2024 and early 25 than originally reported. Now, can we trust statistics that come out of any American department now? Or is this a way of actually going back, revising the stats to show anything that's going on with the economy is all Joe Biden's fault, nothing to do with Donald Trump?
Well, you know, Matt, this is a really good question, because what I'm not clear about here from these new Bureau of Labor Statistics is last August, they came out with revised figures that showed 818,000 fewer jobs were created over the previous 12 months. That will be 2023 to 2024. Now, of course, Trump twisted all that and said they hid those figures until after the election. No, they didn't. They put them out 3 or 4 months before the November election. But now this additional 900,000 plus, is that on top of that? Because if it is, you know, it seems that it would run from probably August to early this year. So it's really unclear. But what is clear is that a lot fewer jobs are being created in the States than we thought. That is consistent. And that the US lost 13,000 jobs in June, that unemployment is creeping up, that inflation is creeping up, and that as a result of the Trump the immigration policies, in particular the rounding up of people on the streets, that it's having a catastrophic effect on US agriculture and on its exports, as well as on the home market, the domestic market. Everything is getting more expensive, and healthcare, because of the subsidies being taken away, is about to go up by about 18% for people who are buying it on the insurance markets. So things are about to get a lot worse, I think, in the States in terms of inflation, in terms of job creation. And the reason that jobs are stalling apparently is because of these tariffs and the uncertainties. Employers are not hiring, and also in areas that require a lot of migrant work, like 42% of people who work in agriculture are undocumented migrants. We know that, but they're all disappearing. The same with construction. So people, the owners of these companies can't take on new construction projects. They're laying people off. They're not doing new things because of all of the uncertainty, the combination of tariffs and immigration. It's really a double whammy to the American economy, and I think we're only seeing the beginning of it.
We've got to leave it there. Marion McKeown, Cal Thomas, thank you both very much for being with us.
The Last Word on Today FM.